Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another installment of Battle Red Radio. I'm your host, Colt Molesky, and I'm joined to put a bow on week 14. I'm joined again by Seth Topol. He's the host of the Locked On Wild podcast. He also is a content director for a radio station in southern Minnesota. He's joining me to help put a recap. I know there's a Monday Night Football game, but we've basically put a wrap on week 14 for the most part for the NFL. And Seth, we have a very hefty schedule on this podcast. We've got a lot to get to because this was a shockingly good game between the Houston Texans visiting the Dallas Cowboys that ended with a 27-23 score. Dallas needed 10 fourth quarter points to get back in this game. Yes, you heard me right. And a final touchdown in the last 2 minutes of this game to win the football game. All very surprising stuff for a team that was favored by, from where you're looking, 17 to as many as 18 points going into this game against the Texans. Seth, were you shocked by this game at the half, or did you think that this would balance out?
You know, it's funny because it just seems like there are a couple of games like this for even the best teams in the NFL. You're not going to have everything go your way. You're not going to get every break. But the difference, and not to bury the lead, because we will be talking about this later in the episode, that's the difference between where Dallas is at and where Houston is at, is that Dallas turned the ball over 3 times. They gave Houston a short field a couple of times to keep them in it, but they figured out a way to get it done at the end of the day. They figured out what to do to come away with the win. And for the Houston Texans, complete opposite of the coin. You know, they had a bunch of things go their way. They got turnovers, they got short fields, but they still couldn't find a way to get it done. And when you are a team like the Texans who is trying to kind of build your way up and, you know, try to become more of a competitive team in the league, this is where they take the next step, is in games like this, you have to find a way to keep that momentum with you and get that one or two, get those one or two plays that put you over the top to give you the win.
And staying in the game too. I want to get to the best player in this game for the Texans. We got to get to our love it and leave it segment, of course, as well as some final thoughts. And we're going to go through this game too. But before we do any of that, I did want to talk quickly on just the fact that this team never really seemed to get killed. You know, the last few weeks, it was such a prevalent part that we started doing a segment of what sinks the play that sinks the Texans this week. And we were going through what player and what point in the game is going to sink this, because there did seem to be a few key plays throughout the last couple of weeks where you could tell that this is the, you're going to look back and say, and it flipped around and they never were really in it from that point on. And I kind of thought that there was going to be a couple of those moments in this game, starting out with the fumble to start out the second half. You are going into the half up 20-17. You come out with the ball and then they fumble the ball. And I thought, okay, this is the moment. This is when, you know, we've kind of been looking up at the sky and seeing two suns for a little bit for the first half of this game. But this is when it all balances out. But, you know, they weathered a few storms and really hung in that game, a lot like when they hung in that game against the Eagles or when they hung in that game against the Chargers. They really kind of felt like they were going to just take the body blows like in a heavyweight fight, come back, and they were going to be able to bounce off the ropes and stay in this game, which they did, which is something that was uncharacteristic of this team. And I think that's one of the biggest things that stuck out to me in this game, is that they weren't put away at any point. They kept fighting back in this game, even when it seemed like they shouldn't be. After a tremendous first half, they were still in that game in a second half against a team where you saw the Cowboys just a week ago absolutely bury the Colts in the fourth quarter with 30 fourth quarter points. They never had that moment.
Yeah, and it comes down to, for me, and we'll talk about it in Love It or Leave It, it comes down to two series in this game that I think really flipped momentum. But I like the decisions, because you look at the Texans getting that second interception in the second half, and they've got it right on the doorstep of scoring a touchdown. Field goals are not going to beat the Dallas Cowboys. And so I like the decision-making there to try to put your foot on the throat, but you go from having the ball in the red zone, not scoring any points, and then that backbreaker drive, 98 yards, for that the Cowboys were able to, they were able to get that in 2 minutes, 39 seconds. And that was, I think, ultimately the what decided the game, is that you go from this huge swing of momentum where if they would have gotten a touchdown, all of a sudden you're up by 10, to no points, and then you give up that long drive and you find yourself down by 4. So really, beyond that, the Texans, they did what they needed to do to stay in the game. And I think that has to be considered a sign of progress, is that you can take a lot of the ebb and the flow of the game to a 4-minute span. Yeah.
It's, well, and that's the thing that we're going to get to at the end of this episode, is was this their Super Bowl, or was this turning things around? Because we did, leading up to this game, talk about the rivalry between Dallas and Houston and how that's felt a lot more on the Houston Texans side of things. I do want to get to that, but before we go any further into this episode, we do have to touch on Jeff Driskel playing a considerable amount of time in this game. He finished with 4 of 6 passing, 38 yards and a touchdown, and 7 carries for 36 yards is what ESPN stats is crediting him with for actual rushing attempts, 5.1 yards per carry. He was sprinkled in a decent amount in this game. I know that the mantra is, if you have two quarterbacks, you don't have any quarterbacks. First of all, the Texans don't really have any starting quarterback anyways, so that doesn't really matter. But the other thing was, you know how there's always like, and it grant you, it usually is an FCS team. It's not Alabama doing this, but there's always a college team that kind of rolls with a two quarterback. Well, we have stuff that we want to see out of this, and this guy's going to open up this stuff, but then this guy actually has the arm and can throw from the pocket, and we're just going to sprinkle in two different things. I get it's a gimmick. I get it. But for the Texans, who need gimmicks when they have a talent deficient roster, I kind of like this move, and it kind of worked.
It was like a non-Wildcat quarterback. Like, you think back to the Tony Sperano days, to where the Wildcat first kind of came into the league, and people were like, okay, what is this? This is weird, to, okay, this is a problem. And so, yeah, it's trying to throw whatever wrinkle you can possibly throw at a team to try to gain that competitive advantage, because it may not be a quarterback that can hurt you through the air, but if you have that running threat, then defenses have to look and say, okay, he might run it if he has the ball, he might throw if he has the ball. So we got to stay a little more honest. And I mean, you hit it right on the head. There really isn't a quarterback on the roster that you worry about beating you any given week. So why not roll two and see if the combined efforts of two quarterbacks can lead to one solid performance?
It's kind of like, I'm going to make a Seinfeld reference, and I don't know how many people are going to get this, but it's kind of like when Jerry and George are handling the dating duties of, like, George is doing all the paperwork and stuff like that. Jerry's going on the actual dates. He's like, maybe between the two of us, we can do the work of one real man. It's kind of, but honestly, too, I mean, they're down in this game, Nico Collins, they're down in this game, Brandon Cooks. Maybe when you don't have a ton of options in the skill positions, maybe throwing out a quarterback that, you know, he can pass a little bit, but you want him to move the pocket around, run the ball a little bit. Maybe that's what you have to do when you're lacking a skill at so many other positions. Granted, they ended up using him a little too much when he's running the opposite way of those tosses and stuff and these bootleg, the opposite way where he's actually supposed to be running into the teeth of a defense inside the 5-yard line. Then you've probably used Jeff Driskel too much, but it is a gimmick, but it's a gimmick that I think you have to deploy when you're a team like the Texans. And it worked for this game. Now, let's go through this stat line, or not the stat line, excuse me. Let's go through the game a little bit here. So let's take a look. Oh boy, ESPN trying to play music over my speaker. Hold on here, folks. Hold on. All right, now I'm set up for you. Let's go through this. So we start out, Dallas comes out, 9 plays, 76 yards, touchdown. Texans come out and have the most Texans drive ever, 3 plays, and they punt. But there's the fumble on the punt, and they come down and score a touchdown off of that fumble to make it 7-7, put a pin in that. We'll get to that later, scoring off of turnovers. Then you have a Dallas punt. You have a field goal. All of a sudden, the Texans are up 10-7. What's going on? You have another long touchdown drive from the Cowboys to make it 14-10. A couple, a turnover on downs, punt, interception from Dallas, and then another score off a turnover for the Texans to make it 17-14 advantage Houston. Field goal to go into the half 20-17. Then you come out and you have a turnover by Damian Pierce on the fumble. They're able to stop Dallas, though, hold them without points off the turnover. They come down, trade field goals. Then you have punt, interception, another interception from, and this is really the backbreaker, is you have the interception. It puts them immediately in the red zone, the Houston Texans picking off Dak Prescott, and they turn over on downs inside of the 5, I believe. Yeah, inside of the 5 at the Dallas 3. Turn it over on downs when you could. They were up 23-20, could have gone up 30-20, or even 26-20. I don't hate that they went for it on fourth down. I just hate the play call. But they turn over. Dallas has the long drive down the field for a touchdown. 11 plays, 98 yards, and then an interception late as they're trying to push down the field with 38 seconds left from the Texans, from Davis Mills in the end zone. And that pretty much wraps up the game. I mean, again, you had a tremendous effort by the Texans defense to stop this onslaught of an offense from the Cowboys that you've seen over the last few weeks. You have a few turnovers that you're able to capitalize off of. You have the crazy performance from Chris Moore, who's kind of been on this roster as the third receiver, and he has this 124 yard. He has the crazy one-handed catch, looked like OBJ along the sideline. They're able to hold the Dallas Cowboys to 27 points and still not able to pull out a win. At the end of the day, Seth, the Achilles heel of this team that it's been the whole time ends up biting them, where it's late in the game, they're in the red zone, and Dallas remembers, oh wait, we're playing the Texans, we can run the ball, and runs in Ezekiel Elliott for the touchdown. After a really great play, Jonathan Owens The pop that he had in the end zone to knock that ball free from Gallup, where you go, okay, if they pass it a bunch of times, is there a chance that they, not that the Texans come away with this, but the Cowboys mess this up for themselves and somehow go away empty-handed, but then they turn around and hand it to Ezekiel, I believe it was third down. You go, oh yeah, that's right. You can run it anytime you want. Wild, wild game though for the Texans. So at the end of the day, after all is said and done, it ends up being the running that finally bites Houston at the end of the game. You have them setting up and thinking that maybe they're going to make this goal line stand after this huge Jonathan Owens pop to Gallup to knock the ball free when he had a dead to rights touchdown, should have been a touchdown in the end zone. And then the Dallas Cowboys remember, oh, we're playing against the Texans. We can just run this in. We should just not make this hard on ourselves. Is there a drive or a turning point for you in this game that started to shift the tide a little bit? I really think it was the failure to score any points off of the turnover in the red zone for the Texans that kind of started to shift things. But again, there wasn't that big pendulum swing that you usually see in the Texans games.
Yeah, you know, it again, I think Houston was getting the breaks to keep them in the game up until I think the point where Dallas made that goal line stand. I think that was the point where the Cowboys said, okay, enough of this nonsense. Let's go down and let's just take care of business here. And so I'd point to that point. Late in the game, Texans were up by three. You go again from potentially scoring a touchdown to no points to Dallas then going down and scoring the other way. I'm just going to keep going on that point. I think that was the entirety of the momentum, all encapsulated into like a 5-minute span for both teams. That was when the Texans kind of lost their contain on things. And that was when Dallas was able to grab the momentum and take it back to their side.
I agree wholeheartedly. And we got to get to a couple of things here. We got to get to our player of the game. We got to get to love it and leave it. But first, let's hear from a couple of sponsors.
Okay, everybody. Let me tell you all about The Adventure Begins, Comics, Games, and More, Adventure Stadium. That's right. And we already know about the great and wonderful comics and trading card store they have on the first floor. They also now have on the second floor a sports memorabilia store and sports trading cards. It's awesome. Get up there to the stadium right there at 525 Woodland Square Boulevard, Suite 130, the second floor above the original Adventure Begins, in the Marcel Town Center. Make sure to check them out. The Adventure Begins, Comics, Games, and More, The Adventure.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's time to trade in your face masks for masks, load up the hoppers, and go to war with your friends. Too hot? Too rainy? Too cold? Splat Zone Indoor Paintball has you covered. Literally. It's Splat Zone Indoor Paintball. Round up the family and get to 11260 Hempstead to check out Splat Zone Indoor Paintball today. Family friendly, low impact, activities for everybody. Go check them out. 11260 Hempstead, Splat Zone Indoor Paintball. It's never a good idea to drink and drive, but what if you had a few beers at the game and you know you're not drunk, but you get pulled over and arrested anyway? You need a law firm that knows how to try DWIs. Someone who won't just plead you out quickly. You need a lawyer who has spent hundreds of hours in a hands-on lab course learning the sciences used in DWI cases. A lawyer ACS qualified to be designated a lawyer scientist because these cases aren't like other kinds of cases. Your positive outcomes may very well depend on who better understands and presents the science at trial. Attorney Brian Aysen is a designated lawyer scientist, and the lawyers at Aysen Law Firm have successfully tried and won many of these cases. Call Aysen Law Firm at 832-209-2297. That's Aysen Law Firm at 832-209-2297. Or visit DWILawyerHouston.com.
All right, I am back again with Seth. We've been talking about this crazy 27-23 win for the Dallas Cowboys. A tight one. Again, they needed 10 fourth quarter points to pull this one out against a one-win Texans team. The player of the game, this one was tough for me because I want to give a shout out to Jalen Petrie, who had 12 total tackles, two passes defended. That goal line stand that they made against the Cowboys to turn them away when they were inside the 10. I mean, that third down play against Ezekiel Elliott, Jalen Petrie basically made it on his own to stop the touchdown and to help force the turnover on downs. But for a guy who's kind of been just there on this roster for basically an entire season and then showing up and having a massive performance against a pretty sound defense, Chris Moore. I mean, he was moving the chains. Again, 124 yards. He's averaging 12 yards a catch. He had 36 yards was his long. He didn't score, but 10 receptions. He was balling out. He was open a lot. Amari Rodgers is another one who could have been like on there just for like showing up. a matter of, what was it, a week ago, I think it was, or something like that. But a few days ago, showing up and grabbing a touchdown, 57 yards. But it's Chris Moore for me. He had the game of the season for him and really bowled out when they were down receivers.
Yeah, I'm not going to object. I mean, and this has been something that has been talked about all season. It's just needing guys to kind of step up in that receiving core and be playmakers that this team can maybe at least give a look to beyond this season. And so you're looking for games like this where a player just kind of steps up and just says, I'll be the one to take the lead. Just try to kind of be that big playmaker. And so I think it's got to be Chris Moore. There were a couple of nice plays. I mean, Amari Rodgers had the nice touchdown, but I think it's got to be Chris Moore.
All right. Agreed. Let's get to love it and leave it. The thing that we loved and want to see next week, the thing we want to leave in this week, hopefully. Mine are pretty easy. The love it is scoring off of turnovers. This is something that they've struggled with all year. Something that they've been really bad with is not only scoring, but getting good drives off of turnovers. I know we just talked about how they turned over on downs after getting that interception, but they also had a couple of turnovers that they scored off of. Interception, a punt in that first half that was muffed. So scoring off of turnovers, such a big deal when you're a team that is lacking talent, or you are clearly deficient when you're going up against a team like the Cowboys in talent, to be able to capitalize off of those mistakes. They did that this week. They'll leave it for me, very much messing around inside the 10. You have Damian Pierce. He's the offensive rookie of the year. Just hand it off to him. Just get him the ball inside the 10. Don't mess around with all this other motion stuff, all this weird stuff, these bootleg stuff with the third string quarterback in there. Just give it to Damian Pierce. That's my love and leave it. What you got, Seth?
I am going to say my love it is trying to go win the game. When the Texans got the interception off of Dak, the second one, I love the decision to go for it because I don't think field goals are going to beat the Dallas Cowboys. My leave it, though, is, as you just alluded to, the decision to not give Damian Pierce a touch when you have first and goal at the Dallas 4. That sequence, Rex Burkhead gets a carry for -1 yards, a short pass to Chris Moore to get it back to the Dallas 1 for 4 yards. Then Burkhead again tries right tackle. This time he loses 2, and then Driscoll runs it right to the two for a gain of one on fourth and three. Why do you not give Pierce, why do you not give him one look there? You got it at the one, let him rumble in. That's frustrating.
It makes zero sense. It makes zero sense. I don't understand it, and I hope that we never see that again, where they're inside the five and you're just not going to give it to just a bruiser of a three down back that you have. It makes zero sense. The last thing I wanted to touch on before we head out here is this a building block game? And I don't want to crush people after a really good game. I'm sure a lot of Texas fans really enjoyed watching that game, so I don't want to be too heavy handed, but is that the last time we see the Texans play like that this year? Because that was their Super Bowl, and they're going to come down off of a high off of this next week, or especially because they're playing the Chiefs. Or did they realize what they have if they can just go out there and play absolutely pedal to the metal, and they have the guys to be in these games, maybe not win them, but be in these games if they play perfect football? Which did we get?
You know, I lean more towards the second one. I think it showed a lot of these players what the Texans are going to have to do in order to win with the lesser amounts of talent they have compared to the other teams that they're playing. This is what you got to do every week in order to come away with wins. You have to have some turnover things go your way. You have to have a couple of short fields that you are able to score on. So, yes, I think some of it was the fact they were playing the Dallas Cowboys. You always want to beat your in-state rival. But I think if you are the coaching staff for this team, you got to take this game and you got to say, this game came down to 5 minutes. And if we're better on a couple of different plays during that span, we've got our second win of the season. That's what it takes. And the message, I think, becomes we are in these types of games, we're close. We just need to be better in critical areas to come away with wins.
Yeah. And I'm hoping that's what it is too. It's just the rivalry part of that does lend itself to a bit of a letdown. And so, especially when you're playing a really good opponent on the heels of this game, there could be some real disappointed Texans fans next week when they're looking up and it's 30-3 against the Chiefs that look like they're clicking pretty well. That said, they did allow the most points the Broncos have scored this season. So maybe there's some yards to be had against the Chiefs too. I'm hoping that it's not a rivalry. I'm hoping that this wasn't their Super Bowl and that this is the start of a little bit something different, but We'll have to see. I know that talking with Corey and Nico, who are from Houston, the rivalry does tend to lean that way as far as it means more to the Houston side of the rivalry. So with the performance that the Broncos just put up against the Chiefs, maybe there is a chance for the Texans to stay frisky. But that's really, I think, what we're both looking for is just some competitive edge, and not that this is just, this was their last push for the season and now they're backing it in.
Yeah, that's the biggest part about this is, okay, so you had a performance in which you kept it close against the Dallas Cowboys. Build off of it. Don't just go back to the same things you've seen where the offense just stacks up three and outs in the first half, and by the time you start moving the ball at all, you're down by 30 points. The Chiefs are going to probably have their way for most of the game, probably have their way with it. And in order to keep it close, you're going to have the same sorts of things happen that happened against Dallas. Turnovers, capitalizing on short fields, having a few things go your way. So you can't plan for that kind of stuff, but you have to be ready to react when it does happen.